Devin Golden here with Mesothelioma Guide Podcast. We have on the phone Dr. Ezra Cohen. Dr. Cohen, you are the lead investigator and sponsor for a clinical trial involving many types of cancer. It's titled Personalized Immunotherapy in Adults with Advanced Cancers, and that's the noteworthy part of your inclusion in this podcast for this interview. Dr. Cohen, if you can just kind of give a brief synopsis of exactly what this clinical trial is doing and how it could potentially help mesothelioma patients and others with other types of cancer.
Of course. So it's really about individualizing immunotherapy for patients based on the mutations that are present in their cancer and the way the person's immune system is responding to it. What we thought about 4 years ago was that the biology was telling us that everybody's cancer was indeed different. And if that was true, and in fact, we've now come to realize that that is, and everybody's immune system is different, then we began thinking about devising therapies that would be bringing those two biologic aspects together and really doing it for one person at a time, truly, truly individualized treatment. And the outlet, at least therapeutically in this clinical trial, is through a vaccine called a synthetic long peptide vaccine that, believe it or not, is created for literally one person in the entire world based on, again, their cancer biology and what their immune system is telling us about response.
So the trial uses, and I'm going to try and pronounce this correctly, pembrolizumab, which is also known as Keytruda. It's an anti-PD-1 drug. It's an immunotherapy drug. And the personalized vaccine, which is what makes this clinical trial so unique and distinct, because there's so many clinical trials that are all just kind of giving this, you get one dosage of one type of drug. There's no real change. Everyone gets it. How long has this trial been in, I guess, have you been conceptualizing this trial? And for specifically for, because we're a mesothelioma website and advocacy organization, I know this clinical trial includes a lot of different types of cancers, but you're looking for 10 participants, say one participant, it works really well. Are you going to then focus on that type of cancer with that type of, say that specific type of the vaccine? Are you still personalizing it even for people with the same type of cancer?
Yeah, Devin, you make a lot of great points in what you just said. So the first thing to note is that drugs like pembrolizumab, nivolumab, atezolizumab, what they try to do is they try to activate T cells, which is a critical part of the immune response against cancer. But they do it really in a non-selective way. And in fact, we see that in some of the toxicity. Sometimes those T cells get activated against normal tissue. We hope that they get activated against the cancer, but we don't really have very much control once the drugs go in and there's really very little specificity. Now, we included pembrolizumab in the clinical trial because we thought that the T cells, if they were activated by the vaccine, would need some help once they got to the tumor, and that's exactly why pembrolizumab was there. But the other point to make, and you touch upon this, is that the type of cancer doesn't really matter, because if we believe, and now we know, that cancer is a disease of mutations, that those mutations are revealed to the immune system, and the immune system detects at least some of them as being different, as being what we call non-self, the immune system should activate and attack those. And in fact, in our research, that's exactly what we see in every single patient that we tested. This was conceptualized about 4 years ago. It was funded at that time by an entity called Immunotherapy Foundation, a foundation that's interested in developing novel and somewhat high-risk treatments. And what we saw was that every patient we tested had an immune response against their cancer. The problem was that immune response obviously was not robust enough to eliminate the cancer, and obviously the cancer was unfortunately growing in those patients. So we devised a methodology that could A, identify how the immune system was responding, and B, a therapy that could hopefully boost those specific T cells that we want against the cancer, and hopefully begin to get responses and eliminate disease. And again, we felt that we needed something to augment that, and that's where the pembrolizumab comes in. What we hope eventually is that we, as we see more and more patients and treat more and more patients, that we'll begin to emerge and see signals of what patients may be better responders, what disease types may respond better. We're already getting hints of that. We're already getting hints of, for instance, what mutations are better seen and better responded to by the immune system. And we're refining our methodology along the way. Right now, we're, in a sense, agnostic of where the tumor started or what it looks like under the microscope. But as we begin to learn more and more, my guess is that we'll begin to get a little bit more selective in terms of who we think are the best candidates for a vaccine like this.
Have you, in any of the patients that you have that has participated in testing, have you had a mesothelioma patient yet? I mean, it's a very rare cancer, so it's possible you haven't, and that's obviously okay.
Yeah.
But.
So we've not treated a mesothelioma patient. We have looked at mesothelioma with respect to its neoantigens. Neoantigens are the term that we use for mutations that are seen by the immune system. So neo being new, antigen is what the immune system responds to. And clearly, again, just like every other cancer type we've looked at, there are neoantigen responses in patients' T cells in mesothelioma. So there's every reason to believe that mesothelioma patients would be excellent candidates for this type of approach. And in fact, mesothelioma may be a disease that lends itself very well to this because many patients, their natural history is not one of necessarily aggressive disease. Obviously, it eventually does get aggressive and unfortunately can be life-threatening. But there is a period of time in the course of disease for many mesothelioma patients that we have time to identify the neoantigens and make the vaccine. We have to realize that this process of going from sequencing the tumor, identifying the neoantigens, and making the vaccine takes about 3 to 4 months. So we need that time period to deliver the therapy.
Mesothelioma patients also may, like you said, may work well in this study because pembrolizumab as an anti-PD-1 drug, mesothelioma tumors have a high expression of PD-L1, and the PD-1-PD-L1 interaction is quite common. It's part of the reason why the T cells are ignoring these mesothelioma tumors, and there's a lot of clinical trials for mesothelioma specifically, just mesothelioma, that involve Keytruda, basically, you know, like an anti or a PD-1 checkpoint drug. So there's a lot of trials that are kind of going after a lot of the stuff that you talked about that is being considered in this clinical trial. So I agree with you. I think that mesothelioma patients could be helped by this.
Yeah, I think that's another great point. You've got a disease that inherently PD-1 or PD-L1 is a mechanism of immune suppression, and this combination may be especially attractive. Completely agree with what you just said.
So here's a really interesting question, and one I was kind of saving toward the end. And again, I know you're traveling, so I don't want to keep you for too long. This trial is currently in phase 1B, if I'm not mistaken. It, considering the personalized vaccine aspect, where you know you're testing a lot of different options and being very versatile because everyone's disease, everyone's cancer, everyone's genetic mutation is different, how would that go through the FDA approval process? Because so many clinical trials, it's one dosage of one type of drug, and this is what's going to work, and this is what's not going to have the adverse effects. How would this fit into that process?
Right. And the good news for patients is that the FDA has really been open to these types of novel concepts, and they have been adapting very quickly to how the science is changing and changing the way we treat patients. So I have to say that the FDA has really been on our side, so to speak, to help hasten these types of therapies getting to patients. Having said that, first of all, it's a phase 1B trial, not because we're adjusting the dose of anything, mm-hmm. but because the toxicity and safety are one of the primary endpoints. So we decided to call it a phase 1B. Eventually, obviously, we'll move into phase 2 and hopefully into approval or registration type trials. And the key, though, point to answer your question is that we're really not approving a drug in this case. We're approving a methodology. And that's the same for every single patient that goes on this. It's a tumor biopsy, it's sequencing of the cancer, it's identifying the neoantigens, and then it's creating the vaccine. That's that sequence of events and that methodology is identical in every single patient that we treat. The end product, the actual sequences that go into the vaccine, those are individualized, and those are only applied to one person on Earth. But the process is the same, and it's the process that the FDA is looking at. How can you do this consistently every single time? Are you tracking the patient's sample so you know you're giving the vaccine to the right patient? Those kind of things, and that's what the FDA is rightfully concerned about. And that's the path to registration. So, and if you think about it, that has to be the case because that's what cancer is. The cancer is unique to every individual, and that's the biology of the disease that we're treating.
Like you said, it's a different type of clinical trial. So the FDA is approving the methodology, and of course, the end result is this individualized vaccine. So they're questions are going to be, how can you consistently produce the right vaccine that does not have the adverse effects and risks for the patient? Does that just come with showing them like proof of concept? Like, we have done this for X amount of patients. We've been able to individualize it effectively for X amount of patients, and that therefore we have shown you what you need. Like, how does that work?
Well, yeah, absolutely. That's one component of it. Of course, there's technical components around the vaccine manufacture that are important. We have to demonstrate that the product is sterile. It's safe. There's no chemicals in it that we don't know about. Things like that. Those are technical aspects of the manufacturing process. And at the same time, we also have a very rigorous part of the methodology that makes sure that whatever's in the vaccine is not part of the normal host or not present on normal cells. And we have actually a few points in the process where we check to be sure that we're not putting something in the vaccine that could actually activate that person's T cells against their own tissue. Because obviously we don't want to induce autoimmune disease or side effects. And so far, although the number of patients has been limited, so far we haven't seen that at all. And I think because of what we built into the process, I'm fairly confident we won't see that. But those are all the types of things that the FDA will look at. And obviously the more data we have, the better.
Dr. Ezra Cohen, thank you so much. Last question, timeline-wise, I know you're phase 1B, you'd like to get to phase 2, and then going further, phase 3 is obviously a huge milestone for any clinical trial. What's the time look like? Like, how long does that usually take for a clinical trial such as this?
Yeah, so we've done a few things to try to speed up that timeline, and we've learned a lot along the way with our collaborators at La Jolla Institute, and especially Dr. Steven Schoenberger. This has been a learning process for us, to be quite honest, because no one's ever done this. So we have learned how to improve the manufacturing of the vaccine, or at least make it faster. We've learned that we can put more sequences into a vaccine and perhaps make it more effective. We're slated to finish the current study. My estimate is probably by the end of the year or early next year. There's been a tremendous response from patients to enroll, which has been really nice to see. I think people get this. They understand why this could work. And then we'll hopefully be entering phase two by early next year or middle of next year. And those will be, of course, more proof of concept and efficacy type trials. So So our hope is to move this along fairly quickly.
Dr. Cohen is the medical oncologist and associate director of translational science at Morris Cancer Center. He's also a professor of medicine at UC San Diego Health. Dr. Cohen, thank you so much for joining and talking about this clinical trial. Mesothelioma has few treatment options right now, and any news of promising methods is encouraging and hopeful for the patients. So thank you again, and thank you for joining us.
Okay. Yeah, thanks very much, Devin. My pleasure.